But Carol Wood was willing and able to come on the program. She's not afraid, and Carol Wood is live with us on the other end of our McLaren Health Plan phone line. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning.
You're not afraid, Carol.
Well, you know, I think it's important to, as much as possible, to try to answer questions and to bring some light to some of the things that we're working on at council. It was a busy evening last Monday night. I think we didn't get out of there until 12:30. So we had a number of hot topics on. The golf courses were one. We were talking about the precincts, moving the officers out of the South Precinct, as well as the flooding. So we were very busy Monday night.
Do you think the council members, as well as the mayor, should make themselves more accessible to the media beyond meetings?
Well, I think a number of us do. Whether we all can make a call-in show, or whether it's interviews that are done after meetings and then sometimes replayed, I think a number of us try to do that.
I wanted to get you, how did you vote, or how would you vote in the case of putting on the ballot the proposal to have that golf course land developed?
I'm still weighing my options on that, Tony, to be perfectly honest. I have a number of concerns about selling off any park property. And what that means to the city as a whole, especially when we look at some of the commitments that we've made to the public with those. We pass, every 5 years, we pass a master plan of our parks. It is almost a year process that we bring the public in, interested groups that utilize our facilities, and we talk about what the future is. And we're required, actually, to do this by the state, and we passed that in 2010. And we didn't talk about selling off park property in that. There was no discussion of that. When the golf courses, both of those were closed, the mayor insisted that he had no intention of selling them off, that he intended to repurpose those for use for the public. And money was even set aside for future budgets in having that discussion with the public. I think part of the concern that I have is that when we start looking at using our green space, quote, as this economic engine, and that you sell it off, then what happens when there's no more green space left? Someone could make the same argument about Luidato Park. The fact that it's in downtown Lansing, it's a valuable piece of land. It would, you know, really entice the use of the river. I mean, we heard that about the accident fund going in. And would that be next? I think you have to be careful as you start down this path on what this means. Pat, the drain commissioner, I think there isn't one of us on council that understands, that doesn't agree with the fact that we need to clean up the water before it goes to the river. But the original proposal on this was to do this without selling off park property. The easement that he would get through the park from the city would pay for the amenities and the things that he would add to that. And again, I think when you look at this whole process, it's not, you've got to weigh this on more than just what's out there for Red Cedar and Waverly golf courses.
All right. So we have a 61-acre Red Cedar golf course. Mm-hmm. 12 acres are to be sold. The land is sitting there. It would be somewhat of a gateway from Lansing to East Lansing into Michigan State. A lot of the area would remain park. 49 of those acres of would be remain park and be owned by the city. Plus, you throw in the infrastructure changes for the runoff. What is the downside?
Well, again, you know, that park would be behind a facility that would be built. It wouldn't be something that would be seen from the street as you came in. You know, let's look at Central Park in New York. If you don't think land is valuable, think of that. If they started selling that off, I mean, there again, when you look at our green space and what we have, and once it's gone, what does it mean? Can there be development along that corridor without selling off park property? And I think there can be. And again, as I said, whether we sell that off or not, the Drain Commissioner made a point, we're going to clean up the river. It would, and that there would be amenities made to the park. So we've had a number of pretty drawings shown to us over a period of years that the council has approved development that's never come to fruition. And when you look at the Kalamazoo Gateway that was supposed to be on Kalamazoo at where Larch and Cedar come together, that council supported and it didn't happen. We were going to have the city towers that were supposed to be next to the South Grand Ramp, 12-story building that was going to be condos, has not come to fruition. Just recently, the Ottawa Butler project that was voted on and supported by council, as well as some rezoning, that particular property's gone bankrupt and now being sold by the bank. So sometimes the drawings look great, the idea sounds good, but whether it comes to fruition or not. I think, again, those are a number of things that you have to weigh as you're looking at this.
All right, if Patrick Linderman, the Ingham County Drain Commissioner, moves forward with his plans regardless, and you have a funding issue, as a matter of fact, the city is, I believe, going to allow the county to start maintaining a lot of their areas. What should be done with these two golf courses? Just let them sit?
No, I believe that, again, one of the things that the promises that were made was to look at repurposing them, whether you add trails or whether you, you know, there are a number of things that we could look at. This administration has chosen not to mow those parks, to leave the fences up, to not allow the public in there. And when you're talking about the county looking at those, we're going to pay the county to take care of those parks. And so, you know, I think it's a combination of things. Now, again, we're still listening to what's out there, and part of this is whether we allow the public to make that decision. This is their property. They own this. Carol Wood doesn't own it. Council doesn't own it, but the public owns this. And so as we listen to what some of those ideas are about whether we're going to be putting it on the ballot, and that's something many of us are still wrestling with as we start down this.
And, Carol, that segues into my next question. Why even wrestle with it? Just put it on the ballot and let the people decide.
Well, and I'm not saying that that's necessarily a bad idea, but again, there were some commitments that we've made to the public, again, from a five-year master plan to the parks millage to a number of those things. And those were things that the public's already weighed in on and made decisions on. And so, and part of that, again, is putting that information out there and listening to what our constituents want, and I'm hearing a mixture of comments that are coming back. Right now it's been just about 50-50 about people saying add it to the ballot and others saying don't even put it on the ballot. You know, we support our parks and don't want to see anything happen to them. So, and we'll be making that decision very soon.
I'm not trying to be the fly in the ointment, but I guess I still don't understand, and I'm not pro or con against this project. But what I don't understand is why not just put it on the ballot and let the majority of the people decide? Why have this tug of war? Even you have mentioned it could be 50-50. Well, let the people decide.
And I'm not saying that that might not be the way I'm going to vote on this. Mm-hmm. You know, tonight is not, I'm not making the ballot decision this evening. Mm-hmm. I'm not making it right now on your show. But when I make that decision and we have that out there, it's no different than anything else. I will have weighed all the information that's out there and then go from that particular point.
You know, Carol, this is kind of like the medical marijuana situation. You know, you have that law that's passed, and it's pretty vague, and it's like, uh-oh, what do? You have a situation here with the same thing, how you're trying, you have a master plan for the parks, yet you have this property that's just sitting there, and, you know, what do you do?
Well, and I've heard that a great deal, just sitting there, and I've heard Mr. Tresai say, you know, and the State Journal is taking pictures and said, do you want this or that? And, you know, I don't think that's necessarily fair. The issue is it's sitting there by design. It's not sitting there because that's what the public has wanted to see happen. That's not sitting there because a number of council members have wanted to see this happen. That's sitting there by design.
Do you think the administration is letting that look that way to push their point across that we need to do something with it?
Well, if that were a vital piece of property and people were using that, do you think we'd be having the discussion today?
Interesting, because I'd like to take my kids out there to play catch, but I was under the impression there wasn't enough funds to cut the grass at those two places.
Well, and again, you know, I disagree. I believe that, you know, it would it be maintained necessarily the way it was maintained as a golf course? No. Are there groups? I mean, we have from First Tee to, a number of different groups out there that help with parks and help do things. You know, we haven't even had that opportunity to have that discussion with that. It's just been allowed to sit there like that without moving forward. When there was funds to start with a repurposing, none of those decisions were allowed to be made. What happened was, the park was left closed, and no one was able to utilize that. The Parks Board itself wanted to start and make different plans for those parks, and it hasn't been allowed to happen.
Which leads me back to, it appears that the administration is allowing this to look like an eyesore to have their proposal look like a more viable option.
Well, you know, that's the way I see it.
Before I let you go, you're always working on something around a neighborhood. Anything you want to talk about?
Well, on Thursday, we're having a public safety meeting at Wise Road at the Southside Community Center. And we're dealing with the teen policing. Many of those districts were increased with the reduction of police officers, talking about response times. And this will have the public have an opportunity to talk to the police administration about some of those issues for their neighborhood.
You know, and quickly, Carol, speaking about this, I can recall you, I think it was your idea about putting the police under one roof under city-owned property. Are we anywhere near a decision on that yet?
My understanding from the administration is that they're going to be doing that by the end of September. I think the thing that many of us on council are concerned about is we'd like to see the lease broken, and what we're being told is we'll move them all under one building, but we will continue to pay for a lease at the South Precinct for the next year.
Why would we do that?
Well, that's a good question, Tony. That's one that we asked on Monday night. Why would we do that?
And the devil in me says that we're in cahoots with the developer or the owner of that property, and we want to see them get their money.
Well, I believe that there are a number of issues that are at the South Precinct that deal with mechanical to a number of things. I mean, we had flooding there. Again, this was the third time, along with sewage in the building, and that, you know, is driving part of why they're moving the officers, the investigative unit, over to the North Precinct. And I would think that those were a number of good reasons as to breaking the lease.
All right, Carol, as always, thanks so much. We learned a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.